Luke, the second chapter, where we find this message. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth the firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Brother Jack Bird is going to bring us the message this evening on his subject, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask your attention to the message of Brother Jack.
First, brothers and sisters, we would like to extend to you the greetings of your brethren from the Richmond Hall Ecclesia. Many of them sent personal greetings to you, and I'm sure the others would like to be remembered to you. We extend to you an invitation to come and visit with us in Virginia sometime that you can be over our way. It seems that on this first full day of the Bible school, and also being the first day of the week, which we've assembled earlier this morning around the table of the Lord to remember our absent Lord and Master, it seems fitting to us tonight to discuss this subject concerning the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fitting because we bear the name of Christ Adelphian, brothers and sisters of Christ. Actually, throughout the pages of the Bible, the Word of God reveals the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, starting in Genesis and continuing through the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, into Revelation. And tonight, we would like to review with you just some of these passages of Scripture to show us how that God's overall plan for this earth, for man upon it, revolves about this man whose name we bear as brethren of Christ. We can't say anything new up here tonight. In fact, we would be out of order if we did. But we would hope this evening to stir up our minds by way of remembrance concerning our Lord and Master, Jesus the Christ. Now, the book of Hebrews gives us a thorough review or summary of the overall plan for Christ in his work for his Heavenly Father here on this earth. In the writings of the apostles here in this message to his Hebrew brethren, he vividly covers all phases of the work of Jesus Christ, covering in particular the sacrificial aspect of his death upon the cross. Then considering the priestly aspect of his work, but also there in the book of Hebrews, he touches on the coming kingship aspect of the Lord and Master. So thus the apostle, in writing to the Hebrews, really shows us how that this plan of God revolves about this man, Jesus. That man that we come on the first day of each week around this table to remember him as it has been appointed. So we see in the study of the Word the threefold aspect of Christ's work. We see Him as the prophet, sacrificial lamb. We see Him then as the great high priest who intercedes for His brethren. And finally, in the Scriptures, we see Him as the coming King who will reign over this earth in peace and righteousness. So as we come together this week at Bible school, this evening maybe we ought to just stop and reflect for a moment upon the great work that Jesus Christ has performed, that sacrificial work that He's performed, wherein you and I have hope, we who have made a covenant with God through the waters of baptism, have a hope of a resurrection from the dead and a hope of an entrance into the kingdom of God here on this earth. Starting almost at the beginning of the Bible, we immediately see the first mention of Jesus Christ in Genesis 3:15. How that the seed of the woman would eventually crush the power of the seed of sin, but sin and death. We see too in this chapter the first introduction to the fact that God requires a shedding of blood for a covering of sin. Also we see how that it was resulted about by God killing the animal to take the skins to cover the sin of Adam there in the Garden of Eden. We move down to chapter 12 of Genesis. We see again Christ mentioned here. For He is introduced to us in that chapter as the singular seed of Abraham, through whom all the families of the earth will be blessed. Yes, this is a promise of a faithful descendant who would come from Abraham, and this promise is repeated to Isaac, to Jacob there in the book of Genesis, making an absolute promise by God Almighty that Jesus Christ, the singular seed, that singular seed confirmed by the Apostle Paul in Galatians the 3rd chapter 16th verse, that this singular seed will be the one who will bring about the song of the angels that we read about here this evening. Of glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That time when it's written in Numbers that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. In Genesis the 14th chapter, 18th verse, we read of the first reference to the memorial service itself that we participated in this morning. For in Abraham's day, Melchizedek, the priest king of Salem, of Jerusalem, or Jerusalem as we know it today, came forth and put forth bread and wine before Abraham. A type of the future, looking to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, again seen here in these first opening chapters of Genesis. And beautifully, the Apostle Paul, writing in the book of Hebrews in the 5th and the 7th chapters, he shows us positively how that Melchizedek was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, who will be the priest-king in the same city of Jerusalem when He returns from heaven to establish His king, His Father's kingdom here on this earth. What a marvelous analogy God prepared for Abraham and for all the faithful who would follow and live after him, when He permitted Abraham to take his only son Isaac and almost offer him up there on the Mount Moriah. We remember the words from Genesis of Abraham when he answered his son. His son asked him the question, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham knew what he was saying when he said, the Lord will prepare a lamb. And the Lord did provide a lamb. That lamb spoken of by John as the lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. Yes, This was 2,000 years before the birth of Christ. And yet Abraham was to stand up on this mountain, and just as a type of the true father who was to offer the true son at this very same place 2,000 years later. When God gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe on him might not perish, but he might have everlasting life. Yes? The type in Isaac was certainly a shadow of that future event that was to take place that is so all important to you and me and to all mankind suffering with this curse of sin and death. Yes, there on that mountain, Abraham proved his faith, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And there on that mount, 2,000 years later, the Lord Jesus Christ was to prove his faith because he obediently gave his life as it had been required. And by the giving of his life, he ratified and he made sure those covenants of promise had been given to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Those covenants in which you and I are heirs through the waters of baptism, as the Apostle Paul proclaims in Galatians, the 3rd chapter. These two events, the near sacrifice of Isaac and the actual sacrifice of Christ on that mountain, were 2,000 years apart. And surely we believe approximately 2,000 years after the death of Christ, another major event is to take place on the same point. Because it was an event promised to the apostles recorded in the 1st chapter of Acts. For as they looked, seeing Christ go up into heaven, the two angels who stood by said, "This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as ye have seen him to go." This is the remaining work of Christ that you and I long for. Another appearance in this mountain. A wonderful type or analogy of the life of Jesus. First, he was a beloved son, wasn't he, of his father Jacob. So beloved, it reminds you of God's statement of his own son. "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Now Jacob showed his pleasure in his son by giving him a coat of many colors. And surely the Lord has given his own son a coat of many colors in the truest sense. For the coat of many colors is the color white. For that's the color that the solar spectrum, the 7 colors of the solar spectrum add up to. White. White linen, we think of the robe of righteousness, typifying that robe of immortality that his father has now given Jesus Christ for that work that he has accomplished. The sale of Joseph back there into the hands of those who took him to Egypt certainly was a type of the sale of Christ himself. And yet the end result was marvelous, for Joseph was to become a second in command in the land and to bring deliverance to his brethren. And so Jesus Christ, as typified by Joseph of old, will be the second in command, as it were, second only to God, and he will bring deliverance to his brethren. Yes, this deliverance is future work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that work that we long and hope will soon be accomplished on this earth. The blessings of Jacob to his sons in Genesis, the 49th chapter and the 10th verse, we see the promise that his greater descendant through the line of Judah would possess the kingly scepter. And that such a son would rule over the house of Jacob. Well, 1,800 years later, Luke recorded in the 1st chapter of his writing that God would give unto his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the throne of his father David, and that he would reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there would be no end. Moving over to Exodus, The greatest incident pointing to the sacrifice of Christ is certainly seen in the Passover institution in Egypt, when God directed his children, the children of Israel, to place the blood on their doorpost to be spared of death. The Apostle Paul warns us back, you know, over in 1 Corinthians that it is only those in Christ who will be made alive. Only those who have come into covenant relationship with him through the waters of baptism and become associated with the blood of Christ, who have put the blood on their doorpost of their lives, who can have hope of being delivered out of the pangs of death. Yes, it was a wonderful type that God chose for the Passover institution there in Egypt, pointing forward to that great sacrifice of the Lamb of God, through whose blood all mankind who but serves and obey him can have hope of deliverance from the death blow that is dealt to us through the curse on Adam. It's interesting that it was this memorial service that was commanded to the children of Israel to keep, that 1,300 years after its institution, that the Lord Jesus Christ himself should have commemorated this incident in Egypt just before he became the true Passover lamb. Just before he went forth and was nailed to that cross, he assembled in the upper room, and he put forth bread and wine to his brethren, and he commanded them to partake of these simple emblems to remember him until he comes. Yes, he was the Passover lamb. He was the true Messiah who did appear. He is the one that the writer of the Psalms, Isaiah and Daniel, had all foretold would give his life for the sins of many. So again, it's the blood of Christ that you and I put on the doorpost of our lives if we want the death angel to pass over us. Death is always lurking. We've said it before, it takes 9 months to bring life into being, and it only takes 1 second to end it. Death is our great curse. It's our great enemy. But thanks be to God that he has offered us the blood of Christ put on our doorpost, and we can be spared. Going on to the life of Moses, we find again a servant of God whose life and work pointed to this true Messiah. The entire Mosaic period of time, with the institution of the tabernacle worship, reflected the coming of Christ in every aspect of this law. Yes, this was a true pointing to Jesus Christ. For Paul in Galatians summarizes the fact when he wrote that the law of Moses, was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Referring again to the book of Hebrews, we see how that the blood of bulls and goats had not been sufficient under this Mosaic covenant to bring forth eternal redemption, our deliverance from sin and death, but rather God's law required one of our own dying race to give his life, following a life of perfect obedience, when he could be the lamb without spot or blemish of character and present himself acceptable before God. Yes, following his death and his ascension into heaven, we see through the writings of the book of Hebrews how that Christ was the true high priest, of which all the high priests under the law had been but a type and example. He was a true high priest who ascended into the holiest place of all, not with the blood of animals or the blood of others, but with his own blood, the apostle writes in the book of Hebrews. His own blood which was shed for the remission of sins. Yes? We today understand clearly the work of our Lord Jesus Christ at this hour as the great high priest who stands at the right hand of God Almighty to make intercession, not for the world. No, he makes intercession for his brethren, those who have made a covenant with him. And we long for that time when he, as a priest, will return to this earth and be the complete priest spoken of and typed by Melchizedek, the priest king in the city of Jerusalem. Yes, just as Moses, as Aaron and the high priest under the Mosaic system interceded for natural Israel of old, thanks be to God that we of spiritual Israel today have an advocate in heaven to intercede for our daily sins. In the tabernacle service, in the law given to Israel through Moses there at Mount Sinai, we can see the life and the work of Jesus Christ in every aspect of that wonderful law. The threefold work of Jesus Christ is certainly seen in the blue and the purple and the scarlet. It was interwound or interwoven into the linen that made up the covering and made up the veil of the tabernacle. Yes, we again can see as that was interwoven into that linen, how that Christ's work in life is interwoven in all the pages of the Bible, showing again that the Messiah, that man, Jesus Christ, stands as the central theme, how all God's promises are going to be brought about on this earth. Well, the animal sacrifices all pointed clearly to the future sacrifice of Jesus Christ as the true sin offering. Now, even the structural aspects of the tabernacle and its furnishings, we know in the study of the law of Moses, they all pointed to Christ. They all pointed to the time when there would truly be glory to God. Glory to God manifested through his Son, and finally manifested in a multitude of believers who make up that multitudinous bride of Christ when the bridegroom returns to set up the kingdom. Moving further in the scriptures, we're brought more closely to the prophetic writings, pointing to the coming work of Jesus Christ, as that greater Son of David promised, who would sit on the throne of Israel and reign there forever. The first prophecy was seen, surely, to David, the second king of Israel, when it was told him, recorded in 2 Samuel 7, that his descendant, his greater son, would sit on his throne. And as we said earlier, this was confirmed by the angel to Mary, that Jesus was that son promised. Also we see in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, how that this David was promised. A David, or a greater David, as we would better call it, would be the one king who would be king to them all when the two and the ten tribes were reunited again on the mountains of Israel. Yes, to Zedekiah, God had made this same type of promise. For he said to that wicked king that he, God, would overturn the kingdom, and that the kingdom would be no more until he came whose right it was, and that God would give it to him. Yes, Micah, in verse 5, in chapter 5, verse 2, declared that a ruler in Israel would be born in Bethlehem, thus a sign to the wise men of that day, when they were able to say, yes, it was in Bethlehem that the Messiah was to be born, not the wise in the books and knowledge of this world, but they were wise in the knowledge of God's glorious plan. And as Daniel in the 12th chapter cites, to we who are members of the last day and age generation, he says that the wise shall understand. Wise again in the searching of the scriptures and the knowledge of God's word. Daniel in the 9th chapter set forth a time for the sacrifice of the Messiah, just as he also sets forth dates for his coming again and a time of an end spoken of in that 12th chapter. Prophetically, Isaiah wrote a very stimulating passage recorded there in the 53rd chapter, vividly describing the sacrifice of our Savior, how that he was a lamb led to the slaughter. As lamb he opened not his mouth before his accusers. Yes, and Isaiah clearly sets forth it was for the transgressions of my people that Jesus was to be slain. The psalmist in Psalms 22 vividly also foretold the suffering of that man that we call Jesus the Christ. But also the poets and psalmists of Israel wrote not only of his sacrifice, they wrote also of his priesthood work. But more beautifully and more challenging, more exciting for us living in these last days of Gentile times, they wrote of that coming kingship that we long for Christ to soon return and claim title to. Psalm 72, what a beautiful psalm, summarizing that Jesus Christ will have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river and to the ends of the earth. That in that day their righteous shall flourish, and there will be an abundance of peace. Well, obviously, to you sitting in the audience, we could go on and on. But these various chapters, over and over, our hope is this evening just to simply show you how that Christ is found in all aspects of the Scripture. Yes, surely the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is the central theme of the plan of God, of how God is going to bring about and populate this earth with a people who will forever give him honor and glory, for which purpose God created man and put him here on the face of this earth. The four gospel writers, as they are frequently referred to, tell of his whole life. They tell of his work, and they end with the death of Christ, almost. The final thing they end with is the glorious thing of hope, that really is the reason that you and I are here at this hour. That hope, because the angel said, he is not here, he is risen. And this very fundamental fact shows that his sacrifice was acceptable to God. That God brought him forth from the grave, brought him forth by the blood of the everlasting covenant, that blood that Christ had shed and poured out on the cross. It makes proof positive, as supported by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ is the first fruits of them that sleep, and even so, he will bring forth those who sleep in his name when he comes. Yes, while those claim there was no resurrection of the dead, Paul clearly shows for you and me that this is the whole hope. For we can take faith and confidence in the fact that Jesus is raised from the dead, and therefore there is a hope of a resurrection for you and me should we sleep before Jesus comes. And not we only, but all those who sleep in those marked tombs, those who've made a covenant with God in the days and age gone by. Acts, the book of Acts, it summarizes how his followers went forth and did what he told them to do, recorded in Mark, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The apostles carried the gospel message to the known world of that day. And they are encouraging to us that we carry forth that same gospel message and let our light shine before our fellow man, that they may see good works and that they may be encouraged to glorify their Father in heaven. The remaining books of the Bible, as we get past Acts, primarily written by the apostles Paul and John, constantly repeat the necessity for us that we have a clear understanding of this man, Jesus Christ. Yes, that we understand his life, his death, his sacrifice, and how that all these things that God plans for man on this earth are possible through this man, Jesus Christ. What a great privilege it is to be called a Christadelphian, to be called a brother of this man who has done so much, a Christadelphian. Do we really show in our daily lives that we count it a privilege, or do we take it for granted? Look how much he has done. These writers that followed Jesus, they urged us to develop a walk in life, or in the truth, after the footsteps of the Master. They're summarized by the Apostle Paul in what he called the fruits of the Spirit. And surely, of all the fruits, one of the greatest attributes we must cultivate is love. And John summarizes what true love is. True love is the keeping of the commandments of God Almighty. Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if we are to be called brethren of Christ, Christadelphians, it behooves us that we keep his commandments. I just don't think we really appreciate the fact that you and I, and of all the millions on the earth at this hour, have been called forth to know the truth of the gospel. Our young people, we've said before, it's like Noah's day. The children of Noah who were invited to come into the ark. In Lot's day, his daughters were invited to come in. The young people don't really seem to realize what a great privilege they have that they're brought up in the truth. When the floods came on the earth, that handful of people were very thankful that God had chosen them. And the great destruction is surely coming on the earth soon. And we hope that through the mercy of God, we'll be invited into that eternal ark to live and reign with Christ on this earth in the kingdom of God. Again, the privilege to be called a Christadelphian, a brother and sister of this man to whom all things are going to be possible on this earth. Jesus himself, recorded by the Apostle John in Revelation, summarized our hope, for he said this, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. In chapter 21 of the writings of Luke, we believe one of the most encouraging words for we of the last day are to be found here. For this man, Jesus Christ himself, said this, teaching for you and me, those of his brethren living at the last day, just before his coming, admonishing us to watch as we approach the end of the Gentile times, when Jerusalem would try to be trodden down the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles would be fulfilled. As we stood before you 12 months ago, we saw how Jerusalem, just a few days before, was no longer trodden under the feet of the Gentiles. For the nation of Israel had laid title to the city once again. The fig tree of Israel was budding, and certainly as Christ warned us to watch for. Just think, even 25 years ago, we were talking to a party on the lawn this morning. 25 years ago, when I was a teenager at the Arkansas school, the brethren used to get in the stand and talk about Israel was going back. Today, we see it back. Look at all the things that have happened in the 25 years that have just passed. Yes, these were the signs that Jesus Christ himself left for you and me, if we're going to be his followers, to really watch for and to be excited about in these last days. He said that verily the generation that sees these things will not pass away until all things are fulfilled. And we think, brothers and sisters, again, that this is the generation. This is the generation that will be alive, surely, to see Christ on this very earth. It may be possible that he should come this year. We were thrilled last year by the Six-Day War. And we've been a little bit lulled back in sleep because it's not quite as exciting, maybe, as it was 12 months ago. But brethren, we assure you that Israel is in the news as much today as it was a year ago. Only yesterday morning, the newspaper we picked up in Huntington, West Virginia, the name of Israel is on the front page, right here. It's not quiet. It's only the lull before the storm, so to speak. This is the Jerusalem Post, which arrived at my house 3 days ago, directly from Jerusalem. On the front headline story, Premier Eshkol and Moshe Dayan tell of Arab war aims. The brief caption says, Premier Levi Eshkol and Defense Minister Moshe Dayan both warned Thursday that the Arabs were preparing for another war. Addressing the first session of the Labor Party Central Committee in Jerusalem, they stressed that the country must gird itself to meet this threat to its national survival. They emphasized the great cost involved and implied that further sacrifices would be demanded. The Lord's coming surely is at hand. We should be living as brothers and sisters of Christ. Yes, we've been blessed to see all these things. We've been blessed to have the Word of God to tell us about the work and life of Jesus Christ. And it's no need for us to get down on our hands and knees and pray to God and say thank you, or come before the table of the Lord and say thank you to our Savior for what he has done for us, unless we go out and live the truth and live by showing our love for Christ, because he first loved us. In summary, we would join together to those words that close God's scriptures, recorded there in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. Surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you.